problem?
Oh, no.
Okay. I guess the only quick item I have for public comment is that the agency has each year has to do the electronic annual report for the AB 939 reporting that's required of all cities and the county. This agency is responsible for not only implementing the diversion programs associated with AB 939, which requires each city and county to divert 50% of their waste stream, or at least 50% of their waste stream, but it's also responsible for the reporting for that. And I just finalized this year's report today, and when I was coming up with the numbers, I was really pleased to actually calculate that we recycled 3,889 mattresses in 2012. And that equates to 7% of the airspace consumed in the landfill each year. So if you just think about that one material type being diverted, saving that much airspace, it's quite a huge figure. So I'm very pleased with that. So, but you'll see the entire annual report at the next meeting for this agency.
Thank you. Moving along, number three, regular items. A, minutes, recommended approval of minutes, which are on page three.
So moved.
Okay. Move and second, all in favor?
Aye.
B, warrant for registration.
There's actually no warrants on this agenda because it's a special meeting. So your warrant register will be on the next agenda.
Move on to C, budget.
Same thing.
Moving along to item four, regular landfill only, number one, direct paint reuse agreement with Paint Care.
Okay, so as I reported previously, the agency's household hazardous waste contractor, CEC Eco Solutions, contracted directly with Paint Care to manage Paint Care covered products. So essentially what happened was when Assembly Bill 1343 passed, it required paint manufacturers that sell paint in the state of California to develop a take-back program for architectural paints, which includes latex and oil-based paints and a bunch of other types of paint coatings as well. It required those manufacturers to develop a program and fund a program for the take-back, which was wonderful for this agency because paint actually costs this agency and its sister agency, JPA2, about $30,000 per year to manage and dispose of. So when we take that cost out of the situation, it's going to reduce our household hazardous waste disposal costs pretty significantly. When Paint Care, which is the stewardship organization, it's a nonprofit stewardship organization that was developed on behalf of the paint manufacturers in California to develop a program. They developed a contract that literally maybe three, four counties in the entire state of California were willing to sign. And the reason those four counties were willing to sign the contract was because they had such high and significant paint disposal costs that they couldn't afford to dispose of the paint any longer, that they were willing to sign indemnification provisions that they wouldn't otherwise sign. We weren't in that situation. Our legal counsel strongly discouraged us signing that contract, so I worked through some hurdles and we eventually were able to get our contractor to contract directly with Paint Care instead of the agency themselves. That being said, because the agency manages the reuse portion separately from the contractor does not manage reuse at all. Paint Care stated that if you wanted to get paid for the paint that you give out for reuse, you would have to contract directly with Paint Care. So we then embarked on a little bit of a negotiations with Paint Care in getting a contract that our legal counsel would accept, and so that's what you have before you. And so the benefit to the agency is each gallon of paint, or each container that's 1 gallon in size or smaller, the agency will receive 25 cents, and then each container that's over 1 gallon in size. Regardless of how much paint is in the container, the agency will receive 75 cents. The benefit to this is without this agreement, there's really no reason for the agency to continue on a financial mode. If you're looking in your financial mind, there's no reason for the agency to encourage reuse when we have another program that will pay for the recycling for free. This encourages reuse, which is on the hierarchy of reduce, reuse, recycle, and rebuy. It's higher on that hierarchy. So I do recommend that the board approve this contract, which will allow us to receive a small amount of compensation for work that we're already doing.
So it's costing us $30,000, you said, roughly?
Yeah, that includes our hazardous waste contractor, and how that figure is pretty rough. I have never really taken the time to see how much time our HHW contractor spends, you know, when he takes paint out of somebody's vehicle versus another fluid out of the vehicle. I've never done that level of detailed analysis, but paint is in general is 50% of our disposal at our hazardous waste facility. So if you cut that in half, then it's 50%, but the facility's still gonna be open. So, you know, it's not gonna reduce our cost that dramatically.
We're still doing oil and oil filters.
And we're still doing all of the other types of hazardous waste, like antifreeze, any other stains, solvents, chemicals, pool cleaners, all of that other stuff we're still accepting at our hazardous waste facility, and we're not receiving any compensation for that. We're still taking that on as ourselves.
So my question then was, how much is this going to help reduce? I mean, how much is this?
This contract in itself will probably, in calendar year 2012, we sent out about it's actually 889 containers, but it wasn't for the full calendar year. So roughly 1,000 containers we redistributed to the public. So we're looking at maybe $500 at the most.
Okay. So you said something else that caught my ear. You said that financially speaking, it's not worth messing with it. We can't get some reimbursement. Mm-hmm. So my question is, why are we messing with it? Do we have to? Is it a law that we have to take paint, or are we just
well? So,
this, or how's that work?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we're not required by law to house a hazardous waste facility. We are required to keep hazardous waste out of the landfill. So it's somewhat of a catch-22, because if we don't, similar to Glenn County operates a landfill, they don't operate a hazardous waste facility, well then all of their residents try to use our hazardous waste facility, which you wouldn't think would be a problem, but it is a problem because we're funding our facility through our landfill fees, and I don't get any money from Glenn County to accept their hazardous waste. So we're not required to operate a facility, but we're required to keep hazardous waste out of the landfill. Before this bill was passed, it made a lot of sense for us to divert paint because we were saving money from the disposal costs. So we were spending maybe $15,000 per year on paint disposal. Any money that we weren't spending on disposal by giving it out to the public, we were saving. So that amount of money we were saving. Then when the AB 1343 rule took a hold, all of a sudden, it's now Paint Care's responsibility, and they have to cover the disposal and recycling cost of the paint. So at that point, that's when it really, unless we had this contract, that's when it didn't make sense for us to focus on the paint reuse aspect, because we weren't getting any money for it, and we weren't burdened with the cost, whereas before we were.
But if we don't have the facility, then people are going to either dump it illegally, mm-hmm. or sneak it into a load, mm-hmm. and we're still going to be paying for it because the staff is going to find it and take it to the facility.
Yes. So theoretically, the staff will find it.
Well, we hope they do.
Yeah. In reality, the staff finds some of it, hopefully most of it, But I'm sure some slicks by, and the more we can encourage people to use the hazardous waste facility and make it more convenient, then it discourages people from hiding it in their loads, and then 30 years down the road, we have fewer problems as far as water contamination, groundwater contamination, and other issues surrounding the landfill. So in the long run, it is much cheaper to operate a hazardous waste facility than deal with groundwater contamination issues. In the short term, it sounds very expensive to spend $70,000 per year accepting hazardous waste.
So it's a state thing, says you can't put it in the landfill, mm-hmm. and you figure out how you're going to deal mm-hmm. with it. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Oh. And you can ignore it and deal with the problem at the back end, or you can try to resolve the problem from the front end.
And we get pretty much compliance, don't we, don't you think?
We get good compliance. Our facility is heavily utilized, especially given the operating hours that we have. And I'm always surprised. And a few years back, we reduced our operating hours because budgets were tightening and we couldn't operate the facility as many hours within the same budget that we had. And so we reduced the operating hours. My fear was that we were gonna then see people hiding it in loads, but we really didn't see any reduction in participation. Just more people were attending each event. So it doesn't seem to be a problem. That being said, the reduction in costs that we're seeing for paint disposal, we may be able to open the facility more hours going forward because we're no longer paying for paint disposal. So there's definitely a net benefit to the agency by having Paint Care assume its responsibilities.
Move approval.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Next item, number two, Cal Recycled Beverage Container Recycling Grant Resolution.
Okay. So this grant offered by Cal Recycle provides a unique opportunity for the agency to increase the amount of beverage container recycling that's happening throughout the county. But while doing so, it also allows the agency to conduct outreach for general recycling at the same time. And it can all be attributed to the grant. So any personnel time that Bryn or Lisa spends conducting outreach, as long as they're talking about beverage containers, they can also talk about general recycling, and it all can be attributed to the grant. So this is a net win for the agency. What the grant does is it allows us to purchase and install 40 outdoor dual trash recycling unit receptacles for the downtown Red Bluff area and two heavily trafficked Red Bluff parks, which I coordinated with PATH. We already have an established relationship with PATH through our PATH recycling management team, which does all of the recycling at the larger venue events at the fairgrounds. And they've agreed to service all of the receptacles through the grant term and then beyond using some of our beverage container grant funding. That's a separate grant that we hold. It's a reoccurring grant that we get every year. So the benefit to this is that the downtown area gets new waste recycling receptacles that look and feel in line with the new branding effort. And then we get the increased diversion associated with it. The grant also does allow for hands-on on-site beverage container recycling outreach to 50 businesses and allows us to conduct 20 waste assessments at establishments that produce 4 or more cubic yards of solid waste per week. When Assembly Bill 341 was passed, which requires businesses that produce 4 or more cubic yards of waste per week or apartment units of 5 or more units to recycle, this took effect July 1st, 2012, we were required to inform the businesses and assure and assist in compliance. but no funding to do so by the state. This grant allows us and provides us the funding to do so, something that we're already required to do by the state. And as AB 939 establishes, if we are not in compliance with our AB 939 reporting requirements and programs, we could seek fines of up to $10,000 per day. I think the state's only fined the $10,000 per day on one occasion, but at the same time, it is something that's looming that we do have to make sure that we're in compliance with. The grant provides $22,039 in personnel costs for agency staff to implement the grant over a two-year period. And this is all on a reimbursement basis. So agency staff goes and does the work. It bills the state for that work. And then the state pays the agency for that work that it already had conducted.
When you say this is for, I mean, Christine, you say this for the city of Red Bluff?
Yes.
Is there anything for the city of Corning?
So I contacted Pat Walker, and we're the city of Corning. So on top of this is a competitive grant. Aside from this competitive grant, the state offers what's called a city-county payment program fund each year. And so each city gets $5,000 per year. So the little city of Tehama gets $5,000 per year. And the county gets, it's based on population, so the county gets about $10,000 per year. The city of Corning hasn't spent their funds over the last few years, so I'm working with Pat Walker to use those funds to purchase waste recycling containers for the city of Corning.
And then will the same people service theirs as service?
I believe that's the details that we still have to work out.
Okay.
I don't believe PATH would be interested in servicing the waste and recycling receptacles down in Corning, primarily because they're housed in Red Bluff.
Yeah, but you might get the opportunity center.
Yes, yeah, and there's other opportunities, and quite honestly, waste management may just go ahead and service them as well. I mean, there's plenty of opportunities, but those are details that Pat Walker and I from the city of Corning will work out when we're developing that program.
Speaking to Pat servicing them, what's that physically mean? They'll go around and empty them. How are they going to do 40 of those? What do they do with the stuff that they get out of them? How will they?
So they already have a separated area at the fairgrounds that they're allowed to sort recyclables at from the fairgrounds event. So they'll utilize that same area. And then they'll be able to keep and retain the revenue that they receive from the cans
so
and bottles.
So they have the equipment or the wherewithal to go get stuff and take it to the fairgrounds.
Yeah, and they could alternatively choose, if they didn't want to do the sorting themselves, they could alternatively choose just to bring it to the MRF at the landfill for free, and then the MRF would sort the recyclables from there. Quite honestly, I don't expect a lot of recyclables to be pulled out, at least cans and bottles, because scavengers will.
The morning crew will have it before they get there. Now, are they guys, you don't have locations yet, or are you doing?
Well, what we did is we looked at where the current waste receptacles are, and then identified those, and then I talked a little bit. I had already, I don't know, for the last year or so, I've been getting questions about from the Downtown Red Bluff Business Association. They wanted to get new waste receptacles. And I was like, well, you know, let me look into it. And so when this grant came along, I thought it was the perfect opportunity to, you know, kind of revive the downtown Red Bluff area a little bit.
So in addition to those, or those will go
away? No, those will go away, and new ones will be put in place. And I'm working with Katie from the branding effort. She also works at the casino and making sure that it's in line with the new branding effort and something that they would want to see as well.
Now the city deals with all these now. Will they then become the caretakers of them and the installers?
The city would, well, the installation, the city could install them, or we could have a private contractor install them. As far as servicing them, the same responsibilities, Waste Connection services the waste side of them.
And are we going to have these like at the skate park and at the ball diamonds? And
yeah, so we included, I believe it's 20 for the parks. And we left it open. No, it's not 20. I'd have to look back through the actual grant.
That's fine.
But we did set aside.
Is this River Park?
Yeah, well, we didn't denote the actual parks. We had parks in mind. The Frisbee Golf Park, the River Park, we've been asked why there's not recycling there. So that was one of the parks that we were thinking about. But we didn't denote the actual park so that there's more flexibility in the grant and where we put the recycling receptacles.
I have one more question.
Okay.
On the recycle, the whole recycling world as it relates to you, do you know what your time spent on recycling or dealing with these grants and all that might be?
My
clue. Bren, that's what she does. You mm-hmm. have other responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And is there a time when it comes to the point where you're buried in mm-hmm. this sort of thing? You got to say, hey, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to have to get somebody else. Anything like that?
Yeah, so that has happened. That's a really good question. Actually, when we were implementing the HD19 grant, while I was in negotiations, and I had all these things that I was balancing, that's when I come to the board and I say, you know, I need somebody to assist in more of this rudimentary work that can relieve me of some of the more rudimentary things. Because as a small agency, I do everything.
Right.
And I, you know, I might not do everything every day, but if you come out to the landfill, you might see me dumping oil on, you know, I dump oil on average about one day a week. So that's very true. So what I did is I come to the JPA2 board and I say, you know, I need relief of some of this duties. Can we hire an extra help person? And that's how we got Lisa Mitchell, who's provided. She started out as an intern for the agency, and she's turned out to be a very nice employee.
Because we hired you to do a bigger job than...
Yeah.
You mind me?
Yes. So I do. So you want to know the actual? I'd have to calculate.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. But uh-huh. There's got to be a breaking point for you somewhere. You know, to where.
Yeah.
You've got your other job. You're mm-hmm. down your throat.
Yeah, and I can say I wear many hats.
And we're very proud of what you do.
Thank you.
Yeah, proud.
But I would say the majority of my work is mostly landfill related. I do assist in most of the administration of the grants, but as far as the hands-on about who's going out to do outreach, that's Bryn and Lisa. I'm not the one that's going out into the businesses. I'm more, you know, the administration side of the grants and that
she
type of thing. She is.
Okay.
Both of them are. So if
I
you want.
Seen her there. I didn't see her last week, but maybe she was there. I just didn't see her.
We're not at all of the farmers markets. We're at select ones.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But they are there tonight.
When it's cool.
Yes.
Yeah, and depending on you know, how much material we have, and I also have to think I can't wear down my staff, and if I make them go to every farmer's market, they're not going to be very enthusiastic when they're talking
you
with
ever
people.
Hit the Saturday morning one?
Uh huh. Yep. She rotates, and then she also goes to Corning. So she was at Corning last week.
Pretty good.
So.
And there, second.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving number three, temporary collection household hazardous waste services agreement with CEC Eco Solutions.
Okay, so what this says is the agency was fortunate to receive a 20th cycle household hazardous waste discretionary grant in the amount of $74,391 to do a few different things. But one of the items is to hold a temporary collection event in an outlying rural region of the county. So we're thinking possibly Lake California or Rancho Tehama, to be more specific than what the grant states. This contract allows our current hazardous waste contractor to manage that event. We don't manage the hazardous waste facility ourselves. We contract out that service, and this would be similar with that same relationship. The contract itself does not specify the location of the temporary collection event, primarily because we're still deciding on where that location would be. one of the issues, there's a couple different issues, but we want it at least 15 miles away from either the Corning or the landfill hazardous waste facility, because statistics have shown that residents will not drive more than 15 miles to a hazardous waste facility. So we want to service more one of those more remote areas of the county. We could also do Los Molinos transfer station. That also provides a good opportunity. There's some issues with Rancho Tehama that they're currently dealing with marijuana that may...
Big issues.
...may warrant us locating it in areas other than Los Molinos. Or, I'm sorry, Rancho Tehama. So those are the types of decisions that we're still making.
Some good green waste up there.
Lake California has other issues where we'd have to figure out a site. Unless this board chose to hold an event in an area that would only be open to Lake California residents, because if we held it at the POA there in Lake California, they're a gated community, and so only Lake California residents would be able to utilize that temporary collection event.
Did something at Texaco or Nolan Park?
Yeah, that's kind of the things. Or we could possibly do it at Evergreen Middle School.
That's Nolan Park.
Oh, is that Nolan Park? Okay, yeah. So there's other locations. We just need to finalize it.
What would be the potential, though, if we did it on Bowman Road there at the school or Nolan Park? What's the potential for Shasta County coming over? Or how do we handle that?
It's very difficult to handle. And that's one of the other challenges of holding it in that area, is that there's Shasta County residents there. We would ask for driver's licenses, but as we all know, sometimes the driver's licenses don't adequately or easily reflect the county of residents.
What about the scale facility?
The scale?
CHP.
That's an option. I don't know if they would be open to it, but we can certainly look into it.
Because when you drive down the ramp toward the scale itself, mm-hmm. it can peel off and because the brand inspector has the old potato shed back in the back.
Mm-hmm.
The brand inspector uses that, and they pull in trucks and trailers for brand inspection. They bypass the scales, get their inspection and their shipping papers, then go across the scales on their way out.
So as long as there's enough space and they'd be willing to allow us.
Space.
Is there? Okay.
Biggest issue would be signage.
Mm-hmm.
As you're coming down that ramp into the
parking lot. Mm-hmm. And there might be concerns about affecting I-5 traffic as well.
You wouldn't affect I-5 traffic because you'd have to come off of, they'd have to, if they're coming off of Bowman Road or Lake California, they have to come south to Sunset Hills,
mm-hmm.
turn around, go on the on-ramp, northbound, take the truck ramp off, and then they take the truck ramp back on and off at Bowman Road. So there would be no impact to I-5, I don't think.
I can see a lot not using it because it's a highway patrol facility.
Well, yeah, but that would stop the Shasta County people.
Yeah, well, that would stop them. But
mm-hmm.
It would stop a lot of
participation.
Anything
yeah.
to do with highway patrol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's a good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and the other one might be to use the southbound scales.
It's never open. Yeah.
It's never open, and they've got the big turnaround behind mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
Just ideas.
Okay. Well, we'll look into it because we're still trying to finalize a location that would provide services to the most residents that's convenient.
Yeah, you could probably get the Bowman Fire Hall, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think the Grange building is even used anymore out there.
I don't think it is either. So this contract has a not-to-exceed compensation of $26,020, and it includes disposal costs for the event.
So move.
Second. I'll second. Yeah, I can do that. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, move to number four, caller signage agreement with Waste Connections, Inc. On page 38.
So another part of the HD 20 CalRecycle Household Hazardous Waste Discretionary Grant allows the agency to conduct public education and outreach in terms of hazardous waste disposal for fluorescents, batteries, and general hazardous waste. The grant allows us to put signage on the hauler vehicle, so we would be paying for the infrastructure, the majority of the infrastructure costs. Green Waste of Tehama has agreed to pay the remaining $3,000 that the grant won't cover for the signage, which will allow the agency to provide outreach using trucks that are already going around the community. It's like having a mobile billboard, and it's very cost effective for the agency, and we can switch out those displays on a regular basis to keep them new and fresh. The benefit to Waste Connections is their trucks look a little bit nicer when they're going around the community, and they appreciate that as well, because it, you know, makes them look better for the community.
So is this like a wrap, or is this a...
No, they're actually...
Frame,
yeah, they're frames, and then the they're essentially like posters that slip right in, and so we can pull them out and take them in. And so the contract allows us to switch those out, I believe, twice per year. Based on at no cost to the agency. And the infrastructure, $10,000 of the infrastructure is funded by the agency, and the remaining $3,275 will be funded by Waste Connections.
So you're going to use that hard plastic board to put signs on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the city of Reading has similar signage on all of their trucks, so this is in line with what they currently have.
So we move.
Second. Any further discussion? Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Number five, outreach update.
And so, if you didn't catch it already, I'm covering for Bryn for this item. She's actually conducting outreach right now at the farmer's market. But she's been doing quite a bit of outreach recently, as well as doing quite a bit of our grant reporting. This is our grant reporting season, so while I've been busy in landfill negotiations, she's been busy doing her own reporting. So recently she did provide two beverage container recycling bins to the Central Tehama Little League and the UC Ag Extension for recycling. She developed a four-page Green Pages section in the AT&T Yellow Pages under R for recycling, and it provides general recycling information as well as hazardous waste, batteries, fluorescents, and our contact numbers for everything. I do have a copy of that, actually, to pass out. So this is the four-page ad that will be in the AT&T Green Pages under R for recycling for this next year. It used to be a 14-page ad, but AT&T used to cover a portion of the cost, and now they will not only... not give us the 14 pages. They won't even let us pay for the 14 pages if we wanted it. So we're stuck with the four pages. Last year they said that they wouldn't even offer us the four pages. This year they agreed to give us the four pages again. So we'll just have to see how it goes going forward. It is. And then the material that used to be on the remaining 10 pages that's no longer there is now posted online. It's an A to Z recycling guide that really makes, you know, any material you have in your mind that you want to be able to properly dispose of, recycle, you can go through this A to Z recycling guide and figure out how to dispose of it or recycle it. So that is now on the agency website as well. This is really nice for folks that aren't internet savvy. It provides a good resource still for them. So we do like to continue with it.
Is this something that with 211 coming that should be on 211?
It should be. Mm-hmm. Definitely should be. So we'll coordinate with
Gail Locke.
Yes. And What's the name of the organization? I can't remember it. Anyhow, I've met with them numerous times working on other projects, so we'll make sure that we're working in line with them as well.
What is 211?
It's 211 is a county wide information service level. So if somebody has a question about anything and everything, they can call into 211 and receive information about who to contact and where to go. Is that a good summary of it?
Go live, I think. The call center is actually in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Somebody picked up the first year of transfer calls from here to Sacramento. They're updating all of the call lists. And if you're traveling and you need a doctor, you can call 211 and they'll give you a list of doctors or dentists or social services or tracks.
Anything and everything.
It's supposed to be on there and available.
Mm-hmm. It's like a Google, but a phone number. And it's very locally specific.
Right, it's specific mm-hmm. target. Although 211 is in all counties, or not in all counties, but there, it will be. Mm-hmm. But specific to your call, like 911, it tells the call center that you're in Tehama County mm-hmm. wanting service.
Bryn also updated, or actually this is Lisa. Lisa updated the informational poster that we have at the Job Training Center and also at the St. Elizabeth Community Hospital cafeteria where we have little table toppers. Lisa updated all of those, and so I do believe they gave me one. So we have these table toppers. In most of the county department break rooms, at St. Elizabeth Hospital cafeteria and in a few other stores and areas where they'd let us drop them off. And then agency staff on a regular basis to keep the information fresh replaces the information with new information. And so it provides a unique opportunity for us to reach our residents and mediums where we haven't previously had the opportunity. Yes, yeah. So. And it's kind of, I think it's neat when we go into a break room and somebody's sitting down eating by themselves, they can, you know, read that and find out. And then all of, if you take, even just looking at the county departments, how many county employees there are, and then they talk to one or two people, it really allows us for us to get the word out really easily and cost effectively.
And that's nice because that's eye-catching. It's not mm-hmm. something just posted on the bulletin board or laid out on the, mm-hmm. on the break room tables. You know, it's something that would be look at, and mm-hmm. you know, what is that? And be more, I think, more apt to read it than just a mm-hmm. flyer laying around.
Right. And we did make mention at the board yesterday, you are outreaching to Rancho Tehama and their Rattler newspaper in mm-hmm. Lake California.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, it probably wouldn't hurt if we got into the Bluffer.
Okay.
That's the high school
paper. The high school paper. We do some advertising on their radio station, but we haven't done anything in the Buffer, so we can look into that.
Yeah, I don't know if they're, I don't know if Corning High does a newspaper or not.
I'm not sure.
We can look into it. It does provide us, since we...
I know Los Molinos High School is growing too. They've just hired, I think somebody told me they're hiring 6 new teachers for their increase of students.
Wow. Yeah, so we'll definitely look into it. One of the nice things that the grants allow us to do is we can advertise in different community events and help different community organizations through our advertising dollars, so it kind of provides benefit to both agencies. So for the high school radio station, we get our information about, you know, proper used oil and filter recycling and beverage container recycling, and they get a little bit of money for their school radio station. So it really works well to work together. And then they go home and hopefully talk to their parents, or, you know, when they're learning how to change their own oil, they know where to take their oil. So it works both ways. Agency staff also conducted outreach during the Slow Food Frontier Village Farmers Market. in Red Bluff on July 13th and at the Corning Farmers Market on July 25th. We promote all of our different programs, including the Medical Waste Sharps Collection Program, the Fluorescent Light Recycling Program, the Latex Paint Recycling Program, the Alkaline Battery Recycling Program, the Beverage Container Recycling Program, and proper disposal of used motor oil and filters, as well as hazardous waste collection events at these different outreach opportunities that we attend. Depending on inventory, the mobile reuse facility, which we call REAP, is at the different community events. We bring in if we have stuff to give out. We don't bring it if we don't, because it doesn't make sense to. Today, just as a side note, has some amazing cleaning products if you want to go out there. Sometimes it's just phenomenal. I can't believe the stuff that people want to get rid of, but we have it, so that's a good thing, and it's not being sent to a hazardous waste landfill anymore. So that's a good thing.
Probably for your calendar, the first Saturday in October is the Mountain Apple Festival.
The Apple Festival?
And there are a lot of people there.
Okay. I think we talked about doing outreach there, actually.
You probably have to get a spot rather quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but I mean, there's thousands of people go there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, we'll look into it. And then lastly, which isn't included in your agenda packet, is that the agency did receive the waste tire collection event grant that it applied for. Last year, the state didn't offer the grant and has now gone to a two-year cycle, so we now have 2 years' worth of events planned. And so our next event will be, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it's September 7th from 8 a.m. to 12 noon at the Los Molinos Transfer Station, the landfill, and at Paynes Creek Transfer Station. And tires off the rim will be accepted, and up to 9 tires per trip, and that's DOT transportation rules. So I'm very pleased to be able to offer that again.
Question in regards to that, I was just made aware of a marijuana garden from last year is now a tire storage
facility. Okay.
So what do we do about those? It's unpermitted.
Okay. Tehama County Environmental Health.
That's where I sent them.
Is the enforcement authority, and they actually get funding from the state to enforce waste tire disposal sites. And that's what it would be, is an unpermitted.
I understand you can see it. I haven't got the location. It's my understanding you can see it on Google Earth. Mm-hmm. There's so many of them.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the carpet fence?
Carpet fence?
Yeah,
I've seen that one.
That is atrocious.
Where's this one at?
It is off of, yes, it's off of Guile Road. I went out there to see it because they wanted to know if the carpet was recyclable. There is about a 50-acre parcel. And about two-thirds of it is fenced with carpet. And I'm not saying a roll of carpet thin. I'm saying pallets of carpet 6 feet wide and 9 feet tall around a 50-acre parcel of property. And,
must be a marijuana garden.
It's not.
No, it's not. It was a carpet installer.
Is that one I know?
Fortress.
So now it's...
Now Tim's involved.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm only involved on the recycling disposal side of it, and the carpet's been there for such a length of time that it cannot be recycled. But likely we will see that carpet brought to the Tehama County landfill for disposal. It is probably, if I had to put an order of the magnitude, maybe 1,000 tons of carpet, maybe even more. I mean, there's very large amount of carpet there.
Yeah,
maybe I was to confuse the.
Well, that's how they found it.
It caught on fire.
It took them days and days and days, a lot of dozers to push it out.
To put it out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a big problem. But the big concern of this agency is either the recyclability of the carpet or how it's going to affect our AB 939 compliance, because anytime we have large jumps in disposal, it throws our diversion numbers off and makes us look bad to the state. So we always want to make note of that so we can provide an explanation in our reports to the state of why things are happening the way they are. But in general, the state is very happy with our programs. We're known as one of the more proactive rural counties. And so they usually use us as an example for other counties to copy.
That tire pile is pretty strange because you don't see them anymore. Mm-hmm. You have tight control over it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I don't know what's going on, but I was told it was a marijuana garden last year, and this year it's a tire storage.
Well, you know why it is? I'll tell you why it is. Because metal values have gone through the roof, so they accept tires on the rim from people, and then they remove the rims and get the metal value, and then they're left with the tire.
Yeah, it's, they're pretty, they can pretty well find out where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we also didn't have the tire grant last year, and there was a couple of tire facilities that I didn't have enough to prove that they were using the tire collection events for their proper disposal of their tires that they were changing at their own tire facilities, but it was very, very suspicious. So, unfortunately, there's always people that'll take advantage of a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, you just try to hold them and keep it to a minimum. And that's all I have.
Is there anything further to bring to the board of the committee here?
I have one. Okay. Antifreeze and Corning.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it go to?
It has to go to our hazardous waste facility.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have flyers made up or anything like that?
We do. I can give you some.
None of the parts stores knew about it.
Well, they should, but it will.
Yeah,
we'll make sure we give them. We have to give them an annual binder, but whether they tell their employees is another thing. But we'll make sure to give them more flyers.
Yeah, I mean, I can give it to them.
Cragen's down there.
Yeah, and there's O'Reilly's.
O'Reilly's won't accept it. Mm-hmm.
No, they won't. They won't.
Tell
yeah.
Us where, when, or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll make sure to do some outreach to them and get the information to them. And I guess last, if I could open public comment, or can you open public comment for me? The last thing that I should have brought up during public comment is that landfill operations negotiations are now over, for those that are not aware. And so we chose to go with Waste Connections, and the new contract will take effect March 1st, 2014. The tipping fee to start off with March 1st will be $54.26, which is a jump from current.
Okay. I guess if that's all, then I will adjourn at 5:07.
All in favor? I want to talk to you.